I don't know. I'm not that sick often, and I'm also not too often on holidays. So you can say that I have 10 years of really straight training without a pause longer than 2 weeks.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gorilla Nation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is the weighted beast of Germany, the 3 times German champion in weighted calisthenics, and with PRs, let me check, of 125 kg dip, 200 kg back squats, 75 kg chin-ups, and 22.5 kg muscle-ups. He's one of the most complete athletes in street lifting and weighted calisthenics right now. I'm happy to welcome you to the show, Micha Schulz from Germany.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, a long introduction, but I think for the people who don't know you or even are not aware of the big numbers, I wanted to include these PRs because you have an impressive record in the German weighted calisthenics history. And we received some questions. We received some demands to interview you. So I'm really happy to have you. And let's kick off. For the people who don't know you, who is Micha Schulz?
Yeah, I'm Michael, 27-year-old athlete and coach from Berlin, capital of Germany. And basically that's everything you need to know about me. I made my passion also my profession. So everything in my life is around the sport, calisthenics, weighted calisthenics, powerlifting, weightlifting. So everything that is resistance training is what I do, is what I love, and what makes me the man I am today.
Yes, the man who is sitting in his own gym during these times. I think you're like admired by a lot of people, not only because of your physique, of course, but also because
I've never had so many friends. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm happy. Let's get to the contact point between you and calisthenics. How did you get in touch? Because before you did skating, right? Let us be part of the history, how you got into weighted calisthenics.
So I started skating back in the days. So I was like those little skater boy, and then I don't know which year, but when I turned 17, I got introduced to fitness, like in a commercial gym, just as every dude who's around 17, 18, just wanted to have bigger chest, bigger biceps, and what can you do about it? Just hit the gym with some weights. And that was about this for 4 years. And then basically the whole bodybuilding style of training, I got pretty bored with, because like, once you're kind of satisfied with the physique level, it's really hard to stay motivated. Then summer came, it was like summer 2014 roundabout, and it was super hot in the gym. I was pretty bored with training. And then I just searched for outdoor training possibilities here in Berlin. And there was a park in the central of Berlin city, and I just Googled it and went there, and there was a calisthenics group training, like a group of pretty loud, pretty strong Russian guys, the Barolina community from Berlin, obviously. And I trained the first time there. And from this day, I was there almost like 6 times a week for the next 3 years. And that's history. So I never planned to enter calisthenics. It happened by accident. And these guys were also into weighted calisthenics. They had like those plastic weights filled with sand there in the park. And so I got directly introduced to weighted calisthenics. And that's about it. This is now 6 years or like 6 years ago. And that's it. So no really cool story, just by accident.
For me, it is a cool story because I still remember the videos from Dan Vital and the Balinas in general, where they said, the new super talent, the new generation of calisthenics, of weighted calisthenics. And you were like, as it seemed for me, as somebody who is not living in Berlin and it seemed that you made progress really fast. Like, I don't know, a few weeks before I saw you doing a straddle planche, and then a few weeks, it seemed for me that you did a full planche and like heavy dips with these ugly plastic weights. And like, it was funny to see from far. Was it this kind of quick progress for you as well? Or was it,
long? To put that in relation, back in the days, 100 kg dip was something special. That was huge. Yeah. So if you're now going on Instagram and see someone dipping 100 kg, he's like, okay, yeah, you need to start somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And back in the days, that was huge. So like, considering it now, it would probably be normal or slow progress. But yeah, for me, back then it was pretty fast. And I got the advantage that I had 4 years of training history before I entered calisthenics, which kind of gave me a pretty good start position, and that made it real fast from the outside. But I put in 4 years in before, not related to calisthenics, but those 4 years definitely count. So with 1 year of calisthenics, it was like year number five in training history. So that gave me a big advantage.
Plus, you had some people around you who already had some experience, right?
Like I had guidance, definitely. So shout out to the Barlina guys. They really did a great job back then.
Yes, because it's a strong community. As it looks from the outside, you have like Dan Vital, who is also who participated in the German Championship, etc. in these days, and who is also a really, really strong athlete with a lot of experience. What were your goals in the beginning? Was it the physique? Was it the moves? What was it that you sticked with calisthenics?
For calisthenics, definitely the statics. That was like number one, what I wanted to do. Back in the days, a planche and a handstand push-up, this was like, those two were my number one go-to. The byproduct of training was then muscle-ups and that stuff, but the actual goal was handstand push-ups and planches. I don't know why, but I never was interested in front levers. That's why I still kind of suck at front levers. because I never really implemented them, but the pushing skills I always found impressive and beautiful. Like, I kind of fell in love with the aesthetics of the motion. That's why I'm also like so much into coaching and form coaching at the moment, because that is like really the aesthetic of the movement is what still fascinates me a lot.
Okay, and were you always stronger in push, or like more focused on push, let's call it? So also in the gym, the 4 years prior,
I was and still am pretty, pretty strong in rowing motions, but vertical pulling was always a weakness.
Okay.
Definitely.
Do you think this is because of lack of focus or genetics, or what is it?
So it kind of depends also on my biomechanics, because I'm not a tall guy, but I have pretty, pretty long arms for my size, which makes vertical pulling obviously hard since I have a long pulling path. But on the other hand, it's gold for deadlifts, because like, I don't need to lift the weight up like pretty
10
high.
Centimeters. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so for biomechanics, I'm definitely more gifted for pushing motions. And that is reason number one. And reason number two, like really directly after it, is focus and training. Because since now the last 2 years, I put a lot of effort in vertical pulling to tackle that. And it definitely pays off. So genetics is an excuse, but only short term, because on the long run, you can't really outwork it, but you can come close. Definitely. Yeah.
Get it. And the typical questions from the community are always, because you already said it, how tall and heavy are you right now?
So tall, maybe that changes. fingers crossed. 172 centimeters still, like never changed from I was 16 years old, sadly.
Okay.
And at the moment today, I was 97.5, so around about 80 kg at the moment. Yeah.
79.
So the heaviest I ever have been at the
okay.
moment. Yeah. For a moment.
For a moment, I was shocked because you said 97, if I heard it right. but I think 79 you mean.
79, yeah, close to 80 kg to make that correct.
Okay.
So heaviest I've ever been. A lot of Christmas cookies consumed.
Okay, this is why you wear a long sleeve and large clothing.
No, that is style.
Okay, good.
Oversized and crop shoulders is my go-to at the moment.
Okay, good. Then we have some styling tips as well. Did you already say how old are you?
27 in the intro.
Okay, 27. Okay, I'm sorry. yes, something that I ask myself is why do you think you have the results that you have today? Is it because of hard work? Is it because of your scientific, smart approach to training? Is it because of your nutrition? What, or is it everything together? What is the main essence of your success?
So definitely all together, but I would put number one, definitely adherence. If I look back, I'm now training for 10 years and I had never ever more than 2 weeks off training, no week. And in the weeks that I were trained, I never had a week with less than 3 trainings. So like, I don't know, I'm not that sick often and I'm also not too often on holidays. So you can say that I have 10 years of really straight training without a pause longer than 2 weeks. And I still love it. So the adherence is definitely what creates big numbers. So and then smart programming, good training approaches, good nutrition is what all comes together. But number one is definitely the adherence part. So love what you do, think long-term, and then baby steps.
Okay. Yeah, because your career, when I look back from the Barlina thing where I got to know you, then you had a long time where you also went viral on social media. At least that's in my how I remember it. In your home gym, you had your bar in the how to call it, in the I don't know, but you know, in your apartment, and you did chin-ups, etc., underneath the light, you know, 12 pack, etc., and like really this was the next step, and now you're like sitting in your gym. How does it feel like to have this career or this long time in the sport?
I won't gonna lie, it's amazing to get this whole attention and to be able to make my living out of my passion. This feels amazing. Like, can't lie about it. And I'm like, still every day I walk into my own gym. It's just a small room, but like, I still have that small smile. Like, you know, this is mine now. I made it, because it was always kind of a dream to have like my own training room just for me. And last year it happened. So yeah, looking on all that stuff that happened, and I never actually planned big steps, like it all kind of developed over time. So kind of honest progress, like it was nothing big really happened, just small steps that now built the foundation of what happened, is amazing. And I enjoyed every year, definitely. From the start with the Gornation calendar to, the own gym at the moment.
You know what just pops into my mind, you know, when you were in Münster here for the shooting, and you just launched your King of Weighted PDFs and your store. You had this I don't know, your you didn't go with the big store that you shop that you have now. You had like some small software to handle all the payments. Yes. And I just remember like us standing in the bus and you being like, you were overwhelmed. You didn't expect that many people being interested in your training program. And it, for me, it seemed like that you were surprised. And today you're offering coachings, you're still having and progressed and improved your training programs, etc., which is like from the outside. For the calisthenics scene, it's something special, because not a lot of people have done what you did until now. Is there any advice that you can give to, I don't know, to somebody who wants to become coach or like somebody who is impressed by your story?
So I definitely always had an eye on how to monetize my work, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make a living by calisthenics. So I kind of always like considered, how can I position myself in Instagram to sell products that help people and that help me to obviously earn money from it. And that's why I pretty quickly got into also the combination of weighted and skills, because that was something special back in the days. Not a lot of guys did this. And then I started to, what you mentioned, to sell my routines. It was called weighted routines back then, and it was not even PDF, it was Word. Like, I think 5 years or 4 years ago, which was just a summary of all the routines that we trained in the group, in the Barlina group. And it was like $20, I guess, back in the days. And yeah. And then from that point, I started reading about training. I got better on the Barlina. I started coaching people. And then the programs developed. So the programs got better. And my videos got better. So the output I gave got better. And I always try to kind of give out a lot of information so people recognize me as something you can believe what he says. So if you read a post, okay, it's from Michael. Yeah, it might be true. If he said it, I might consider it. And that is a process that takes a lot of time, like always in marketing. Same for your story. You just need a lot of time to kind of build a brand. And that would be my advice to young athletes that are looking for creating a brand, because in the end, your name is a brand, and a strong brand is something you can monetize and something you can make a living out of, even without a big reach. Like, compared to other athletes you also had here in the podcast, like my reach is kind of limited. But I think I'm pretty strong in monetizing this reach with quality products, or at least I aim for it. You need to ask my customers if that is true, but that is definitely what I'm aiming for. So definitely keep an eye on the business.
Which is really important. So you can put your whole time, and you can put a lot of more time, and also more, not only more time in marketing, but also more time in like reading stuff and continuing to learn.
It's like a simple equation. Like if you don't get enough money in, you can't spend money on a camera for your content. For, as you said, time, you need to make time for the content. And that is like something that needs to develop over time. The more you put in, the more you get out, but you need to put in a lot until something is coming out. And that is where most people just don't have the patience to make a living out of it. Like it in the beginning, it all sounds fun, like selling 50, 100 programs a month sounds a lot of money, but then you have taxes, you have your expenses and all that stuff. And you are not a rich person directly just because you know you have some Instagram reach. It takes a lot of time, and don't think you are gonna be a millionaire in 5 years of Instagram influencing. So just be patient and do it for because you love it and for the money, but never only for the money, because you will be disappointed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Do you think it was necessary that you became 3 times German weighted calisthenics champion, or was it, do you think you would be at the same position, or like maybe at 90 or 80% of the position without these titles?
It definitely was a push for the king of weighted brand, because it's a pretty edgy name for a brand. Because like crowning yourself is like, it's not too understatement. And you need to back that with like rather knowledge or like real titles. And pretty handy together. Okay. So yes, it definitely was important. It wasn't planned, because you can't plan to win competitions. but it was definitely very important for the branding and also for my personal development, because that gave me a lot of confidence to really also really put that out. You know, you can't call yourself King of Weight or your brand. Like, it's not my title, obviously, it's my brand. You can't call your brand King of Weighted and then like represent a shy athlete that has no titles, no success. You know, you need to live the brand kind of, and be the role model for your own brand. And for that, you don't need to win, but you at least need to win against yourself in the competition. So you need to improve.
Yeah, that's true. And you need to be authentic, because King of Weighted, everybody who knows you personally would say it kind of fits to you, and like to your mentality or to your personality, let's just say it. And I think this is really important. You can't build a brand, for example, I don't know, I couldn't build this gangster brand, these hardcore tattoo guys, I don't know, if I'm like more the friendly guy or like you know. And the same thing for you. You need to be authentic with your brand, and I think you did a good job.
I don't need to be everybody's darling, but I need to be authentic with what I am. And if you follow me also on Instagram, you know that I'm pretty edgy and pretty direct in what I say. Not everybody might like this, but the people that, you know, give me a following and that interact with me, they like the way I am and that I am how I am. And that is the most important.
That's true.
Because likes don't pay your rent, but a strong community does.
Yeah. And fans, like not followers, but fans. That's how we call it at Coronation. Our goal is not to have 100,000 fans, followers, but the goal is to have like the 10,000 fans, really people who support Coronation, who support us by repping the clothing, etc. And it's the same.
You have amazing Instagram stats for like the small reach you have. Yeah. Like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's better than mine.
Yes. So maybe we can talk afterwards. I can give you some advice, but for for the next question, people were asking, how do you manage to combine that many training methods, or like, how is it possible to combine aesthetics, to combine like really power, muscle building, all this stuff, that all these goals that you have with aesthetics, even how is it possible to put everything in one person, in one King of Weighted?
So when it comes to aesthetic, usually form follows function. So if you have like a good combination of like clean eating and training, independent of what you train, you will develop a good physique. If it's like kind of resistance training that is with high intensity and close to muscular failure, you will definitely develop a good physique if you're not eating candy the whole day. So the aesthetic part is actually the easiest of all, because that is easy to achieve if you just stick to a certain routine. And the rest is planning your training over time. And then what I usually do is that I have like a list of goals with like statics or skills that I want to achieve. And then I focus on one or two of them for a certain amount of time until I hit the desired level I have. And then I put these skills on maintenance. So I don't need to, like, give you an example. I don't need to train straddle planche a lot during the week, because the straddle planche is something I have on lock without doing it frequently. So I don't need to put in a lot of effort. I won't get better in it without doing it, but I also will not get worse. So I can focus on other different goals. And then from time to time, if I put it back on the list, I put more effort in, and then I maybe have a time where I have a solid full planche. And because this is what I wanted to do. And then I put it on maintenance again, and probably half a year later, I can't do a full planche anymore, but I still will have the straddle. And that is basically for all other things. You can't have big 1 or M numbers the whole year. You have a a competition phase where you peak towards high numbers, and then you have a phase of like 2 or 3 months where you definitely can rep out a lot of weight. And then afterwards, you need to go back to train your technique, improve your muscle mass. So you need to go more towards other goals. And that is just structuring your training, basically. And then over the years, the maintenance list grows, you know, like now I have it all on lock, but 5 years ago, I need to put in a shitload of effort to like have a front lever, to have a planche, to have a muscle up. And now it looks easy. I can do it without training it because the people don't see me training it, but they see me doing it. And it's like, he can do it without training, but that's just not true. I have a certain level without training it often. But if I want to improve, I need to do like the work as everybody else. So I didn't, yeah.
Okay, so do you think in a few years you will have the full planche on lock so you can do it all year long?
That kind of depends on my priorities. So at the moment, since I'm like doing a lot of squats and getting back into the squatting because I now finally can do it. I had a knee injury that like, sorry. Like my gym is located in not like the best quarter of the city. So they're already celebrating New Year's Eve.
But the funny part is that this interview will probably go live on New Year on the last day of the year. So yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of lost it. What did I say?
I asked if you can lock the full planche one day. And okay. Right now you're...
Yeah. So probably not because I will gain a lot of mass on my legs, obviously, now training it a lot. And that probably will give me some regress even on the planche because I'm at the moment don't want to put a lot of effort in planches. So probably I will have a hard time doing straddles. Because I'm at the moment, I'm not too interested in the planche because I had it on the schedule for like 5 years now, just looking for something else. And maybe it will change. I don't know. Can't tell yet, but at the moment, probably not. Okay. But I could do it. So if I plan to do it, I could promise you to have it on lock. That is all about training and priorities. Yeah.
And it's a good thing because I see it in life. I want to be able, I want to know in my head that I am able to, I don't know, do this and this if I want to, but I don't have to do it because right now I have different priorities and that's a good thing. Maybe the same thing for you for training. You could be able to do the full planche all year long or like maybe, you could lock it if it matches your priorities.
If I put in the work, then yeah.
Nice.
And full planche requires a lot of work.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think you can tell more, but it's not comparable to the straddle planche because it like it's another big, big step over the straddle planche, right?
Yeah, for the most, like also from the coaching experience, consider the time that it took you to reach straddle and then the same time again to really have a solid full planche.
Yeah. From the beginning of working out or from tuck planche to...
From the beginning where you started planche training.
Okay.
Like it definitely can be different for individuals, but like this is a good thing to plan with.
Approximately.
Because the conditioning for joints and ligaments just takes a lot of time. It's not only about muscles, like the conditioning part is very, very tough. I don't know who invented this element, but like saying, let's put our whole body weight on the shoulder girdle on a straight arm, it was like a pretty, pretty crazy dude, definitely. So because it's like not healthy and not a smart thing to do, like a planche is all but natural. So that's why it's so hard to do because it's not a position that humans are made for. And that humans probably also should do. But that's also why it's so cool.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Everything that isn't natural or like that is hard to get, etc. It's the things that are desired in the human psychology. Yes, You also offer the King of Weighted workout programs to combine skills and weighted. What is and we also have a small offer for the people, for the listeners. What is the special thing about the program to combine skills and weighted? How does it work?
So basically, during the programs, it's not split up in skills and weighted or like static training, dynamic training. I just consider a skill as a certain exercise for a muscle group, basically. So if you have a pull day, then the front lever is a pull movement, just a regular thing to train, like before or after pull-ups, kind of depends on the program. But it's just implemented as an exercise for muscle group XXX. Same thing with handstand push-ups or like overhead exercises. So a handstand push-up or a pike push-up, you can consider it a skill, or you simply can consider it overhead pressing work. And so your body doesn't really care if it's an overhead press with the barbell or if it's a handstand push-up regression. So you can like implemented the same way. So it's kind of orientated on the classic gym training if you wanted. So you have like a list of exercises with certain sets and reps. And the skill is nothing special. It's just an exercise that fits on that day in that program because it trains this muscle group with this intensity and this amount of volume. And this is the pretty good approach because it's easy to scale. It's easy to develop over time, and you don't need to really kind of handle the skills special. The how you program the skills is a bit different from a lifting exercise, special for the statics, because a static muscle contraction is something different than a dynamic one. But in the end, the approach is kind of the same. So in the programs and also in my training, skills are nothing special. It's just a regular exercise that I implement for a muscle group. And then depending on how high the priority of the skill is, I implement it in the top of my training to be fresh and to really put in the work for it. And if it's like on maintenance, it also can be a bit later in training. Yeah.
Okay, so it's all about priorities and implementing it into in the right place of the workout.
And then you need to consider some other factors, like if you need a lot of explosive strength, so it would be not a smart thing, even if muscle ups are not your number one priority, to put them at the end of your training, because explosive strength requires not to be pre-fatigued, and then you need to put it up as a pretty high priority in your training, or at least at the beginning of your training, to have it with a good quality. Same goes for statics that you are not advanced in, because the amount of concentration you need to be able to hold a static, you need to do it at the beginning of your workout, because if your nervous system is fatigued, your body can't can't tell your muscles to contract in the way they need to do to hold the skills. So statics, if you're not advanced in the static, I would also definitely do at the beginning of the training, because you need a lot of concentration and also a lot of strength, and that you have most likely at the beginning of your workout.
Okay, sounds good. So we will put it in the description for everybody who is interested in checking all the King of Weighted programs in your shop. There is a 10% discount with the code GORNATION10. And that's nice to combine it. Question that also happened, was asked, is yeah, man, ask him how I do 3 handstand push-ups, easy, but I can't do military press or overhead press with my body weight. How is this possible? What can you say about this one? Because a lot of people think, oh, if I can handle my body weight, calisthenics is like you need to activate more muscle, you have to coordinate, et cetera. It should be easy to do a military press with body weight. Why isn't it like this?
So first of all, also a barbell lift is a kind of skill. And skills always require specific work because the movement pattern is similar, but it's not the same. So your body needs time to adapt to this new skill, even if it's a barbell lift. So you probably have a solid amount of strength if you already can do a handstand pushup. And this will definitely transfer a lot to an overhead press, but the movement path is kind of different on an overhead press. Because on a handstand pushup, you have a lot of body lean. So you're also not moving your whole body weight because it's not perfectly aligned with gravity. You have like some slight angle in it, and you won't go for an overhead press like this as you kind of do on a handstand pushup. So 100% body weight on an overhead press from the strength effort is definitely harder than a handstand pushup. But then on the other hand, a handstand pushup combines more muscular coordination because you have the balance component in. So just don't compare it because you can't really compare because you can max out an overhead press pretty easy, but maxing out a handstand pushup would probably be not possible because balance will always be the limiting factor. So just consider it two different skills that have a huge carryover to each other, but it's just different movements. Yeah.
Because of the leverage or the angle or...
Yeah, because the bar path is different on the overhead press and the balance component is different.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So just not compare it. I think that's the easiest thing to do. Let's take an exercise like the pull-up. People are asking how does the training method differ between weighted endurance, one rep max, even though it's the same exercise. Can you have tell us more about the training program, the programming for these individual goals, one rep max endurance and like weighted, I don't know, 32 kg on endurance, for example.
So if you're going for high intensity training, so really, really, really heavy training, close to 1 RM, you definitely need to consider working in different phases. So the easiest example would be to plan your training pretty linear. That means you start with, I don't know, easy example, you start with 3 times 8 reps in the pull-ups. You do that for like a certain amount of time, like 4 to 6 weeks. And then you go for 3 times 6, 3 times 4, 3 times 2, 3 times 1. To give your body time to adapt to the loads, to give your system time to adapt to the loads. And also important is stay away from failure, because when you always train to failure, you kind of pretty fast out-train a rep range and you can't add weight anymore. You can't progress because you can't give your body time to adapt if you always train to 100%, because then there's end. No time to adapt because you did 100%, then you need to change the system that you train to adapt. So like if you're working auto regulative, like stay at least between like 4 and 1 rep in reserve if you go for 1 RM training, and really progress over time and like alternate volume and intensity. This is pretty important, and give your body really a lot of time to adapt to high loads, because in the end, being able to move high loads is a skill your body needs to learn. Your nervous system needs to be ready to say to all muscles at the same time that it's now time to put in 100% effort to move this weight for 1 rep. And this is a pretty long, really, really long process to learn it. So kind of consider it as a static skill. It just needs time. And yeah, MREP training is actually pretty easy. Just like also start with kind of a buffer and then go for like 3 times 10 reps, 3 times 11, and so on and so on. And then you can also implement heavier days in your training to get a bit faster adaption progress, because at MREP training, you will hit a plateau pretty fast. Because it's just not possible to add rep by rep by rep weekly. And if that process slows down, just do the same rep range for a longer period of time and then change from training block to training block. Because the more advanced you get, the longer or the slower your progress is. So like considering myself, like adding weight takes a lot of time. Like I can't play with rate progression from week to week, probably from month to month, or even from year to year. And so the closer you get to really high amount of reps, the longer it takes to add reps to it. So if you like can do 30 pull-ups, it probably took you a year to reach 30 pull-ups, but it maybe takes you two more years to reach 40. You know, it's like, it's not a linear thing to do. It's something you definitely need to consider. So it might not be a real plateau, but you just need a long, long time to add another rep. Because if that would be possible linear, then, you know, a lot of people would be able to do 100 pull-ups. There aren't a lot of people probably who can do this. So yeah, MREP training is pretty easy. Just add reps over time. 1RM training is also pretty easy, but you need definitely to plan it pretty carefully. And so to make your body adapt to the weights over time. And training for like hypertrophy is the easiest. Just choose the rep range you like and then train close to failure. And that will make your muscles grow.
Okay, because it's interesting. If somebody's not in the topic, I would think, and I would like think that it's smart to go to muscle failure, you know, like all day, every day, hard workout, always muscle failure, workout every day. These are the things that are said in the community, you know. But as you said,
also why so many guys are injured. So of course, everything I just said is pretty simplified. Of course, it takes some more knowledge and effort to really create a solid program. But just to give the guys a simplified solution. And always training to failure just produces a lot of fatigue because the training has two responses. Like your fitness level goes up. So theoretically, directly after training, you are stronger than before because you trained. But on the other hand, your body produced a lot of fatigue, like the metabolites, like the byproducts of your metabolic stuff that's going on in your body, like the small fatigues in your muscles, small like fibers that got destroyed by training. And that all sums up and kind of messes your level of fitness. And that is why you are weaker after training than before. And then over a certain period of rest, fatigue goes away and your new level of performance gets visible. But what happens if you now, without sufficient rest, directly train again to failure, fatigue just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And that is what you then call overtraining. And that happens not often, but definitely too often. That's why also a lot of people don't progress. Like two major reasons why people don't progress is because they do too much or they don't do enough. Actually, it's just those two. Because to find the sweet spot in the middle, it takes tracking, you know, and I don't know a lot of like those old school athletes who track their workouts and write down what they've done to know, okay, I did like for a few months, I did this, this was good. Or I did this, this was too much. And it just, you know, you need to write it down to know it if you're not a super brain who can remember every workout. And that is basically the main problem of a lot of people. They just don't keep track of the training and they're not aware of what they're actually doing and how much they're actually doing. And change that, guys.
Is this also the main reason why it's smart to have a coach if you want to go into like really, really good results?
Mm-hmm. So definitely, because having an objective view on your training like puts you into a justifying position. So you always need to justify why I haven't I done this, why overshooted I on this exercise, why skipped I this exercise. So you put yourself always in the situation of justifying yourself for another person. And the coach has also a pretty objective view on your training. So he gives you the techniques and exercises that are necessary, and not only the exercises that you like. So it's like a better regulated training. And if you have a good coach, he also has more knowledge than you regarding this topic, and so can maybe change your system or show you ways of training you haven't done yet, and that improves your performance.
Okay. Getting back to your form, you're like, if I have to describe you, I would definitely say power, success in weighted calisthenics, but also your physique is something that I would say is part of your success, not only on social media, but I guess also in the real world. People are asking, do you train abs a lot of times, or how is it possible to have your kind of abs?
So the main point basically is that the upper part of my abdominal muscle like starts on my rib cage.
Okay.
You know, which makes the abdominals popping out just much more. Even when I'm just standing, you see that on my videos. If you take a look at me from the side, like the upper part just pops out huge. And this is genetics. I haven't done a lot for it. This is like a gift from mama. So that is genetics. And also that I have the luck to have like my tendons that like kind of build the abs, the pecs, that they are pretty symmetrically and just like what the most of the people consider aesthetic. This is also something you can't influence. So if you like have it symmetrical, if you have 4, if you have 6, if you have 8, like that is given. And I'm pretty gifted with this. And basically all I need to do was to keep my body fat low enough to make the abs visible, and to train it in which form ever, like ab training, statics training, whatever, and to make them grow enough to give them a nice shape. So it's like 50% genetics, 50% nutrition and training.
Okay. Then if we already hear the form police in the background, what kind of nutrition does it...
Told you I'm in the ghetto here.
what kind of nutrition do you do? I always remember these steaks in your story. This is why I unsubscribed you, because I wasn't able to see it anymore. But what food do you eat besides steaks?
So I try to reduce meat, to be honest, because wow. I'm eating a lot of meat, or I ate a lot of meat. I'm just trying to reduce it at the moment, basically for environmental reasons. So nothing personal, because I think animals are too cute. It's more like environmental related, to give the next generation a planet that has more than concrete on it. It's not working always, but I'm giving my best. And usually I just plan my meals around the protein. So I just take a look on having a source of protein, a source of carbs, and then sum it up with greens that I like some veggies, fruits, whatever. Basically every meal has those three components. So carbs, because I need carbs for power, for training, for my brain, like everything, mostly everything that needs energy in our body is working with certain sugars, so carbohydrates, and that is why every meal has carbs. Protein, like self-explanatory, and greens for health, basically, because we need vitamins, minerals, and I try to implement this in every meal that I eat. And I don't track. Like, I'm a big believer in natural eating habits. So because I don't want to force myself to keep track of every meal, because I think that is something that will make me unhappy on the long run. Because like, if I feel like I want to eat a donut, I want to eat pizza, whatever, then I don't want to have a number in my head that prevents me from doing it. Like, I want to have a healthy relationship with eating, and I'm pretty gifted with it, so I can do it. Like, my hunger fits my needs pretty good. So I tracked for a while to know what I round about, what meals I need to eat, what amounts of food I need to eat to like stay in shape, to bulk, or like to reduce my body weight. And since I have that, I can now eat like pretty natural. And I don't have cheat days. Whenever I feel like eating sweets, I do so. But I also don't like get into binge eating habits because I have no big nose. Then I eat sugar, I eat chocolate, but I don't go for the whole plate. I just like eat a small part and then that's it. So I try to have a healthy relationship to my body and to my nutrition. Yeah.
Okay. People are always interested also in supplements. What kind of supplements do you take, and what supplements do you think support a weighted calisthenics athlete?
So you have like performance supplements and you have health supplements. So health supplements is a different topic. So if we're talking about like fish oils, so omegas, greens, like or minerals like magnesium, whatever like this, I would consider more health supplements. And that is a different topic. But like performance related, definitely can recommend caffeine. So some kind of pre-workout booster, which is like a direct performance enhancement. So caffeine in before training is like kind of doping your body, and that helps with training, obviously. And creatine is also kind of a health supplement, but it like is the one of the parts of the structure that gives your muscles energy. So your body can build energy from the creatine, which gives you a bit better performance in certain rep ranges. And so it also has a direct influence on your performance. Pretty small, so don't expect changes. Like supplements is the top 1%. So if everything works and you want to invest money and get even better, then think about supplements. But don't expect huge steps. Like, it's really small. Like, the most of you might not even recognize the difference. So really the top 1%. Okay. And then any kind of protein powders, if you're not be able to get it in with your regular food, because on a certain amount of muscle, you like your protein intake is pretty big that you need to eat, and that comes with big portions of food, and then supplementing protein in form of a shake is just more comfortable to do. And then I would suggest going for protein source, like could be a whey, it could be a vegan protein, whatever, to make it easier to get the proteins in. So it's also no magic pill, it's just like easier to get the amount of protein in. So don't put like the supplements on a podest. Like, it's really nothing special. It's like spending a lot of money for small increments in progress. But if you're on a high level, that can make sense, or that is a calculation that can be good for you, but definitely not needed. And again, as I said, health supplements is something different. I also don't want to recommend something, because that kind of depends on the person.
On your nutrition, on the person's need, etc. How many hours do you sleep per night? Do you always hit your 8-9 hours, or is it, how does it work?
I used to be pretty precise with sleeping and putting a lot of effort in sleeping. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm actually pretty happy that I can sleep so much, because that means I'm gifted with a lot of work in those crazy times, which is kind of a privilege at the moment. So I'm having like a lot of clients coming in at the moment due to the whole lockdown topics, a lot of people opting in into calisthenics. So the online coaching is growing pretty fast, which makes it not possible for me to have sufficient sleep all the time. But in average, I definitely get my 7 to 8 hours of bedtime, which ends up in like also a round of 7 hours of sleep.
Okay. I don't want to know what the other time in bed is done. Yeah.
WhatsApp.
Okay, good. yes. Question, we're coming closely to the end. I still have two questions before we go to the quick questions, quick answers. What are the three main things that if people improve this, they would get much better results?
Definitely work ethic is number one. So really doing what you planned and sticking to a plan and really execute it over a long time. So having a good work ethic and not skipping things just because now a party came up, like a new girlfriend, whatever, like that you stay consistent with it. That would be number one. Number two, ego. So leave the ego out of the weight room, like move the weights you can move and not the weights you want to move. That would definitely be number two. So just be honest with yourself in training. And number three would definitely be recovery habits. So sleeping and eating, adjust this. This is a huge part of the progress, often neglected. And like just by increasing your sleep by 1 hour, probably the performance will increase a lot for the most of the people. Because like nearly everyone that has a regular 9-to-5 job lacks in sleep, like 99%.
What do you think is the minimum? Like, of course, it's dependent per person. Some people just need 6 hours or like 7 hours and they are totally fine. But what do you think is the average that a person needs?
Well, as far as I know, evidence tested with up to 9 hours of sleep and they still found an improvement. And I also know some weightlifting athletes, like professional athletes that make a living out of their sport, and they have naps programmed in their training program. So like they have like a training in the morning and then they have like 1 hour of sleep, like scheduled by their trainer, programmed. And that is how important sleep is. So like probably you can't sleep enough, like 8 to 9 hours plus, but that doesn't work with a social life and training. So yeah, kind of try to make it to the 8 hours of sleep and then you should be good.
Because I always have Schwarzenegger in the back of my head who said, 6 hours of sleep is enough and was enough for him. You should just sleep faster.
Yeah, if you're juiced up and like speed up the recovery process, then probably less sleep is sufficient. But for athletes that have a natural body that just needs time to recover, and recovery is mostly done in sleep. So just, yeah, I would prefer that you sleep longer than start enhancing. So guys, please just sleep.
Okay. Yes, and the last question, what are your goals for 2021? We're now like we're launching this interview on December 31st, and what are your resolutions for the new year?
So definitely getting the crown back on the German nationals, or like it's not the German nationals anymore, it's like German, Austria and Switzerland nationals together. So it will be definitely hard, a lot of young talents. So the first year where I can definitely say I don't know if I will win, and so this will be very, very hard. But that is definitely one of my goals, to win again. And on the other hand, getting a better coach. So at the moment I'm not too focused in improving myself as an athlete, but more in improving myself as a coach. So learning, coaching, getting more clients, getting better qualities as a coach, and So I'm putting a lot of effort in at the moment now, learning a lot and investing a lot also here in my gym to just have the environment to also improve. And hopefully that will pay off in 2021.
Yeah, I hope so, because I can imagine that it's sometimes hard being a coach and an athlete at the same time, because it's you're like in the bubble of training the whole day, it's also as you said, with sleep, etc. It's also mentally draining to be a coach. It's not the as we call it, passive income lifestyle in the beginning. It's work. It's mentally, as I said, draining work. So do you see a challenge in being a coach and an athlete at the same time, or is it an advantage?
Yeah, so if you want to be a successful coach, you definitely need to prioritize it. And this is what I do. So as I said, I'm not having enough sleep at some times. It also, I reduced my workouts from 5 to 4 weekly, cut it this down, because I now just need the time to, like, because I commit to my clients to make them better. They pay money to get my attention, and then you need to deliver, because as a coach, results is what like measures your success. And also like what gives you success on the long run, because you can collect a lot of clients, get a lot of money, but if those clients don't have results and don't recommend you as a coach, you're like dead after 1 year. So you need to put in a lot of work, like going the extra mile to make the clients happy. And this is what I try to do. And this definitely has impact on my training, but this is the prioritization that I need to make, because I'm getting 27, getting 28 next year. So business is more important than sports at the moment. Putting in the work there and getting the best out of the training as well. But yeah, priority is definitely coaching.
Great. Then now we're coming to the really important questions: pizza or burger?
Burger. Every day, all day.
Like, yeah, same.
Pizza anyway is like a more flat sandwich than a burger. So burger.
Okay. Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Dogs, all year long.
Great. Do you have a favorite location for holidays?
Beach.
Anyway, anywhere.
Warm beach, waves, like warm air, beach.
Nice. Yes, both Germans sitting here in Germany in their hoodies.
The dark, cold, lightest skin in the world.
Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete, top three, or athletes that you look up to and follow?
So I follow a lot, and like I really like the training style of a lot of people, but I don't have like a top list. So I don't want to put names here, because that would be unfair, because there are so many amazing athletes. Like it's like getting crazy at the moment. The levels are exploding, and like it's fun to see. And yeah, I follow a lot. Just take a look at my following list, and then you see how I follow for inspiration, whatever. Yeah.
Great. Do you have a favorite book?
I'm not a frequent reader, actually.
But like, once in school, I read.
I don't have like a storybook, or like I don't have a book that like kind of changed my life. So I don't have a favorite book. Not really. At the moment, everything related to training. Like the last one I read was it's called The Strength Pyramid from Eric Helms. That was the last one. So it's not my favorite, but it was the last one.
Okay. If you could only follow one person on Instagram, who would it be, or one account?
My girlfriend.
Your girlfriend. Great. She's sitting in the room, I guess. That's why you say it, or?
No, but yeah, I don't know.
Okay. What sport would you do if calisthenics didn't exist?
Probably gym bro, weightlifting, curling, like just hitting the gym.
Okay. Yeah. Nice sport, curling. Yeah. The best calisthenics event you've ever visited?
The Machbar Max Out in Spenge last year, November 19, was amazing. Like the you also have been there, yeah, you know it. The whole atmosphere and Dino moderating it, like with screaming in the mic all the time, like it just pushed you to the limits. It was amazing. You can like, I have a sum up on YouTube, and like the whole atmosphere was crazy. Like enjoyed this, yeah. Definitely top one.
And I think quite a few people saw the scene where you did your, what was it,
125
kg dip, and then afterwards the full planche. That was something that I didn't see before. That was quite impressive. And yeah, it was.
Was also my biggest flex until then. Yeah.
Until then, what did you do in this year? In the last year,
I don't know. We will see. Hopefully, okay. 130 and a full planche.
Okay, nice. Yeah, these are the questions that we handled today. Thanks a lot for your time. First of all, before we say goodbye to everybody, all the loyal listeners who are here since 18 minutes or something, how can people get in touch with you? How can they learn from you? How can they contact you for coaching? Yes.
So I'm super active on Instagram, like Micha, wherever you come from, how do you want to pronounce it, _BLN_. I actually answer in a matter of hours, and then you can just ask me all the questions you have regarding online coaching, regarding the programs, and then just get in touch, and then we will see if it works out with coaching or programs or not, and then just get in contact. That's it, basically. And you also find me on YouTube with under Micha Schulz. There is my channel. It's mostly also training related content, as well as on Instagram. If you want private infos, you need to become my friend, because all my social media is just sports related, 100%.
Great. It's funny that you say that you tell the people that you respond in within hours, and then me for the interview, I had to write to you like for 3 weeks or something. That's something that we can maybe talk about after the interview.
You wrote on WhatsApp.
Okay. I didn't know that WhatsApp on the priority list is below Instagram. Sorry. Okay.
Actually, it is.
Nice. For the people interested in the King of Weighted programs, also all the links of your social media, all the links of the programs.
Just kingofweighted.com, and GoreNation10 is the code which gives you 10% off independent of running, discounts. So whatever is active in the shop, just go with GoreNation 10 and you get an extra 10%.
Great.
On Till sein Nacken, as we say.
Nice. So yeah, all the social media channels, everything is in the description. And I want to say thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man who sacrifices his sleep to be here.
As you can see.
Yes, so big thank you to you, and also big thank you to everyone listening. 80 minutes, it's been a long, but I think it was really informative, a lot of information, a lot of questions handled, and thanks to everyone for listening to this. If you want to support the series, give us a thumbs up, give us a comment who should be interviewed next, and also if you have other questions to Micha, feel free to comment them. Maybe we do an episode 2, maybe he will respond them if he is active, maybe a little bit more active than on WhatsApp. Apart from that, Micha, thanks for your time, and you are allowed to end this episode and say goodbye.
Then also from me, thanks for listening, and see or hear all of you in the next episodes. I will be there as a subscriber, so do that too.